I, like many of you, are deep in thought with Clint and Tasha and the family, and Alan. I would just encourage you to continue to pray. We have comfort in the scriptures, knowing that, you know, God formed us. Our inward parts, Psalm 139 says, He formed us. And He knows what days He's ordained for each of us before there was yet one day. I don't know what's going to happen with Alan. I really don't. But I'm comforted by the fact that God has a purpose in everything. I confidently believe that. And He will be glorified in it. One thing that I was thinking of that, just as by means of a deviation from what I was going to speak about tonight, just real briefly, and we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians 5, by the way, so you can put a finger there. You know, talking about the days that we're given, we all know that our life is but a vapor, right? It appears but for a short while, then snap, it's gone. But I'm looking for the passage I want in Psalm 90. So here it is, verse 12. This is something I'd like us to think about in light of what can happen. God's going to use Alan to His glory, I'm confident. And Clint and Tasha. Psalm 90:12 says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may present to Thee a heart of wisdom." That's really what's important for us now. Let's number our days. How about we present to God a heart of wisdom? I think that's really good admonition from the Scripture. Keep them in your prayers. 1 Thessalonians 5. If you would turn there with me. Thessalonica. Thessalonia, however you want to say this. Major military city, major city of commerce, the western side of a peninsula on the Ignatian Way. City filled like all the other Gentile cities in the New Testament where the gospel went out, filled with idolatry, rampant idolatry. Not a whole lot of light in those places, a whole lot of darkness. You read Acts 17, Paul looks like he had about three Sabbaths there before things turned pretty ugly, and he had to, you know, as in the words of Jay yesterday, "I got to bounce. I'm out of here, guys." But he didn't say it in reference to this passage, but it just surprised me when Jay said that. Yes, it was so out of character. It stuck. Got to bounce. Boom, I'm out of here. But, you know, in 1 Thessalonians 3, he sent Timothy back because he was concerned for him. And after he was taken no more, Timothy comes back and gives a really good report. Really good report. So Thessalonica is one of those cities in the gospel where the letters are written. It really has a pretty positive picture of that body of believers. So I've thought for a long time, I'd like to go through the letters to Thessalonica, you know, Thessalonians, and you know, do a whole bunch of messages. And maybe I will. At some point, hopefully I will. But for tonight, I'm going to be in 1 Thessalonians 5, and we're going to pick it up in about verse 19. We're going to go through 22. Just kind of some basic stuff here. Remember, this is a congregation doing well. Outwardly, it looks like, you know, they're standing against all the forces that are arrayed against them. They have a few things they got to work on. But overall, I mean, you know, Paul speaks very highly of this congregation. Beginning in verse 19, 1 Thessalonians 5. "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances or gifts. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil." Some pretty basic admonitions. Let's pray. Father, I first and foremost am grateful for Christ Jesus. I have the great privilege of being in Your presence because of Your plan in Christ. That which was set forth before the foundation of the world. Lord, we also know that what You had in mind before the foundation of the world was not only the bringing of the Lamb that was worthy to be slain into the world, But one of your goals was to bring the kingdom into existence. So often I see in the Scripture, Father, when you speak of the Christ, the Messiah, so often, so closely associated with Him is His kingdom, His bride. So grateful to be a part of this. So thankful that I have this privilege of prayer, all these blessings, these heavenly blessings that we get to participate and partake of, came at a price. And we acknowledge that. We are so grateful. I am thankful you have preserved the Word, that which we receive implanted and trust ourselves to it. You have told us through your servant James, it will save our souls. So Father, tonight, we look at what this great body that was brought forth through the work of Paul and Timothy and Thessalonians, what they are exhorted and reminded of. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Examine everything carefully. Don't quench the Spirit. Great admonitions for us as well this day. There are forces arrayed around us just as there was around Thessalonians. Father, I pray that we would acknowledge that this has application to us and that we would seek to apply what we can draw forth from your word to help us to better understand who you've made us to be as your people so we can execute this eternal purpose to your glory. May this message give you glory, Lord. May it strengthen, encourage, may it equip the saints for the work of service. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, brethren, early on in the letter, Paul says, you became imitators of them and of Christ. That's a pretty good statement about the church. Amen? Amen? Guys, you know, I think very highly of this body here in Billings. I really do. I think you guys are awesome. I think we're imitators. You know, I think many of us can stand up and say, follow me, imitate me as I imitate Christ, and know that we can have people following us with confidence. It's the kind of confidence Paul had in these guys. Acts 17, like I said, there was tons of pressure that came against Paul as he's preaching the gospel. And they accuse him of treasonous things and try, you know, drag some of the believers before the court. I mean, it's bad. It's bad. But the church gets planted there by Paul, gets started. Timothy comes in and fills this thing in. And they are a strong body in the face of a lot of opposition. Very strong. See, they accepted the Word of God for what it was. It wasn't the Word of men. The Word of God. Brethren, what do we have to do when we begin a Bible study with people today? We got to prove to them that that Bible is the Word of God and not the Word of men. We do. We have to. Man, it's been under attack. There's so much that's been launched at the Bible. Oh, it's all written by men, you know, 2,000 years ago, in a society that oppressed women, and Paul was, you know, really kind of a manic depressive, a little schizophrenic. You've heard them all. You've heard them all. The Word of God. They accepted it as the Word of God, not the Word of men. They really knew what this message was. And that's in 1 Thessalonians 2. You can read a little bit about that. Now, you think about a strong body like this. Real strong body. You know it's on radar of Satan, don't you? You know a strong body is going to be on Satan's radar. And we tell people, I tell people on an individual basis, told many of you in the past, when you become a Christian, your name is changed. Amen? You become Kevin Christian, if you want to use that term. God's son. Kathy, God's daughter. But I tell you, you get your name changed twice. You become one of God's. Your name gets changed from sinner to saint, from victim to victor. I mean, we can go through the list. From whiner to winner, right? I mean, we can change that name in our mind. But there's one that we oftentimes forget. We also have a name change from Satan, and it's called Target. He's that lion seeking someone to devour. So he's coming after the church in Thessalonica. They're standing. All right. No, but you guys, they should fire you up. So Paul, at the close of the letter, after he goes through the few things that they got to work on, it seems eschatological things are one of the main problems, a few things with issues of personal life and, you know, let's just say sanctified lifestyle, you know, not living immorally. Remember, this is a place filled with idols, paganism. Brethren, it's like America today. It's no different. Man, you turn on the radio, turn on TV, what, you pass by something, and you can't go anywhere to eat anymore without 15 TVs. Tell me that isn't true. You know, it's hard to avoid what's going on in the world. It's being pumped at you. That's why he's called the prince of the power of the air. The airwaves are coming at you with full force. So, he says, do not quench the Spirit. What was the primary work of the Spirit as a whole, brethren? As a whole. The primary work of the Spirit. Men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. The Word of God. Do not quench the Spirit. The Spirit that indicated they belonged to God. Do not allow this to be quenched. Here comes the world telling me, persecution is a lie. Do not quench the Spirit. The Spirit's what marks you as belonging to the Lord. Do not quench it. Don't let them attack it. So the primary work of the Spirit, brethren, was putting together this book. That was his primary work. So he said, don't quench the Spirit. The Spirit is what's leading you. The Spirit is called the Spirit of what? Spirit of truth. Spirit of truth. This is true. So we make it a point when we study with people, don't we, brethren? Hey, I understand you might be skeptical, but I can prove to you that the Bible is the Word of God. I was a skeptic, brethren. I was. Nobody could ever answer my questions. You know, I always felt like they were playing the old, you know, here we go around the mulberry bush. Never answer it. Right? Never. So somebody could sit down and actually answer my questions, logically prove to me, logically, that the Bible is the Word of God. Never forget how important that is for you. I've told you over and over, and I'm going to tell you again tonight, the most important study you will ever do personally and you will ever take anybody through in an individual Bible study is proof that the Bible is the Word of God. Brethren, this isn't 2,000 years ago where the foundation's been laid. Christ shows up at the proper time. People have a strong understanding of the nature of God in Scripture, and it's in this little community called Jews, and he can bring this message in and have some success. It was limited success, as I recall. But there was great biblical knowledge or knowledge of the Scripture. That doesn't exist in America today. We know that. So you have to go back and prove that. Go back and prove it. See, somebody's trying to put the Spirit out of this thing. Satan's trying to get rid of the Spirit of truth. He's trying to convince you this isn't true. Just a bunch of myths by man or great comforting allegories or metaphors. Man, this is the truth. Do not quench the Spirit. In the face of opposition, will we stand? Brethren, I'm going to tell you, you're going to stand if you believe this is true. Amen? You'll stand. If you don't think it's true, what you think is a conviction will be soon revealed as just a preference. Because you will switch that allegiance rapidly. So we really do all we can here. I'm so grateful so many of the men do all they can to continue to equip you guys, to help you to understand the truth of the Bible, who you are in Christ, the creation evolution stuff we do, all the foreshadow types that we study through, help you guys see that God was working towards you, your plan A, not plan B. He wanted to get to you. He's gladly given you the kingdom. Gladly. Do you know who you are? I hope you do. What's the value of truth? Well, you better buy truth and don't sell it. It comes from Proverbs, right? Buy truth. Don't sell it. There's so much I could speak on that. I've got limited time to know. We've got everything we need, though, brethren. Is that something we need to be reminded of, right? No, you can read Jude. Contend for the faith which has been delivered, except for some that Joe Smith's going to bring later. Once for all. If you've got it once for all, brethren, do you need more? Just asking a logical question. But boy, what is mankind always looking for? I need more, 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 right? Give me more. This isn't enough. We got what we need, brethren. Do not quench the Spirit. We've got everything. Guess what the world's trying to do? Guess what Satan's operatives are trying to do? They're trying to suppress the truth. So Jesus said, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So again, what is Christianity really at its core? I heard Jared say it to somebody when we were up at the Peaks, and I can't remember who he said it to. Some of you were talking to. It might have been Paul, the friend of Clint. You were saying to somebody, this is not an integrity test, not an intelligence test, right? But an integrity test. Not many wise, not many noble, not many mighty. This is right down to the common man. You can communicate this, and it's about honesty, isn't it? It's about truth. So that's the core. Do not despise the Spirit. There's so much more. Or do not quench the Spirit. There's so much more of that, brethren. I can't go. I just want to talk about the Spirit in the realm of truth. This is what it's all about. Truth, truth, truth. Is it true? Do not despise prophetic utterances, Paul says. Were there competitors to Paul? You want to read a few letters to the Corinthians, particularly 2 Corinthians. Yeah, there are a whole lot of people claiming they were apostles of Jesus Christ bringing a different message. Oh, Galatians, another gospel. Let them be accursed. Do not despise prophetic utterances. So, there'd be an attack that would come. Well, are you sure that Paul's telling you? Are you sure you got it all? Are you sure you can trust what you've been told? Will you listen to these things? We accept the revelation of God for what it is. Go to Acts 13 with me real quick. Paul gave a little, defense of the hope that lies within him. In Acts 13, just grab a couple of verses, 26 and 27. Brethren, sons of Abraham's family, and those among you who fear God, that would be the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, to us the word of the salvation is sent out. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, recognizing neither him nor the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled these by condemning him. And he goes on to talk about what they did. Put the Messiah to death. Were there utterances? Yeah. They pay attention to them? No. How about in the church? What should we be doing? Go to 1 Peter 4. This is a general principle, brethren. 1 Peter chapter 4. Guys, don't worry about great stories and all other kind of things you can use, although they're wonderful to communicate a message if they're in their proper place. But here's what you can think about when you're going to come up front. Not the most clever joke you heard or the best story, although, again, those are useful at times. Verse 11 of 1 Peter 4. Whoever speaks, let him speak, as it were, the utterances of God. What does the assembly need to hear? The utterances of God. You don't need to hear all my opinions. Well, I think and I feel and I believe. How about we just check out the Scripture? What do you guys say? Sound good? Sounds good to me. Whoever speaks, let him speak the utterances of God. Brethren, I take a look, and I've done a lot of stuff in the Old Testament with the history of Israel, and it sure seems like their whole problem was is they despised the prophetic utterances. How many guys said, look out, repent? They despised the prophetic utterances, didn't they? There were competing forces against those guys too. We can go through so much in the Old Testament. Well, what? They despised it. Not us. This is a church that's doing well. Do not despise these prophetic utterances. There's so much in here that's so good for us. So much. See, in the rubber meeting the road, the test for all of us is when the scripture hits us right between the eyes, right? Now, you guys all been there just like me, right? Boing! And you go, ooh, wish I hadn't read that. So what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Well, you got two choices. You're going to obey it, or you're going to despise it. And I don't think I'll follow that one. I'm sure Paul, as he's telling the churches, you know, what the Holy Spirit says, how things need to be done. And it was flying in the face. I mean, hey, we got it pretty rough already, and you're telling me I got to do this too? Yeah. Ooh. You know, all of us have been there. Be honest. As an early Christian, I mean, I remember reading things going, oh, man, that's completely different than what I thought. What am I going to do about this? Well, I decided when I was immersed, and I've shared this illustration with you guys before, there was a contract made, covenant made, and Jesus said, I'll save your soul, and you get to live eternally. Up here in big letters, big red letters, with his blood. I'll save your soul. You get to live eternally. Sign down here. And initial the next, you know, 300 pages. And you're flipping through them. You go, but they're blank. I'm going to fill them in. They're blank. I'm going to fill them in. Just go ahead and initial. How many of you have ever signed a contract like that? Basically, that's where we all started. We didn't know everything. God said he'd save our carcass. He said, if you love me, you obey me. Okay, you obey my commandments. Let me just obey me. Okay. So here it comes, you know, and in our society, boy, oh boy, there's a lot of stuff come at us, especially for you gals. You gals, our society, the feminist influence and all the things that are underneath that have come in. You know, you read those scriptures, I do not allow a woman to teach. You know. And then somebody comes up and whispers in your ear, see, I told you. See, God, he treats you like a second-class citizen. Right? I mean, there's lots of things. But it's not easy for the women, brothers, in America. Society has said men are dirt, can't be trusted. They're feminizing our boys in every way they can. Believe me, they are. And they said, you women, boy, you're the epitome. And the gals have heard that, and they've just started to steadily tear apart the fabric of family and our culture by telling women those things. And so we've got to work hard on that issue, don't we, in the assemblies? We do. Don't despise prophetic utterances. Ladies, the Lord is asking you not to teach for a reason. Because us guys will more than willingly abrogate that responsibility to you. Go for it. I'll sit here and play the couch potentate. You guys get that? I'll rule from my couch, hon. You go run things for me. Right? And the women take it over. I'm not saying women can't have their own business. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about in the Lord's assemblies. That's what I'm talking about. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Now, that's a real issue in our day. I don't think it was this huge an issue in the days of the early church, but it's definitely an issue in our day. That's a rough one. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Well, that's an easy one, right? Do not despise prophetic utterances. I'm just throwing some things out that, you know, maybe we need to consider. Now, I'm not going after anybody in particular. I'm just saying this is what it says. That was signed, you know, that's what I initialed and got filled in. All right. Examine everything carefully. I got to move fast. I can't go through everything I want to talk about tonight. We can't be misled by false prophets, false interpretation of the Scripture. Brother Jerry talked a little bit about that this morning. Doesn't matter what people think. It's what the Word says. Amen. Boy, that, amen. You know, why did you have to bring up that stuff about the women again, Kevin? Good. You know. Well, that's all I can think about. Right? Church had gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? One of them was the gift of distinguishing spirits. know, in the absence of the completed New Testament, you'd need that. Because somebody was popping up and saying, let the Lord be accursed.
What?
You know, hey, it's a letter to the Corinthians. No one can say the Lord is accursed. You know, no one can say Jesus is Lord unless the Holy Spirit. Hey, we got to be able to distinguish what's going on. Do you think Satan isn't going to use a channel of envy? You know, somebody that wants to be have a little power in a congregation. You know, 1 Corinthians was torn up pretty good by guys who were trying to, hey, we're the guys that are the approved ones over here. You should follow us. Same thing in Galatia, right? Same thing. Trying to separate, to be approved by them rather than by God. We know all that stuff. Had to be able to distinguish the spirits. I always like to use that one. I was a Baptist when we used to go and check out the healers that would come to town. And all we ever wanted to do is go and talk to them and say, hey, if you really can heal, could you come with us to the hospital? Wouldn't that be great if that was real? Where would the healer in this congregation be right now? He'd been up in Alan's room last night, wouldn't he have been? And brother, that wouldn't have mattered what Alan said. If that guy can heal, says the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophet. That guy could have gone, rise, he'd have come up. Look, you got to be able to distinguish this stuff. Distinguishing the spirits. So, had to be able to, and so like I was saying, when we get to the Pentecostals, you know, we always let somebody speaking in tongues, and I've never heard that language before, and I'd always ask him, oh, okay, so how do we know what that guy's saying is correct? Who's the guy that's got the gift of distinguishing spirits? And I don't know, a couple times I've had him look at me like, what? Like they didn't even know that was something that's written in the Scripture. Brethren, do we need to have the gifts of the Spirit today? Do we really need those, like those manifestations that came through the laying on of the apostles' hands? No, we have the completed Word of God. Examine everything carefully. 2 Corinthians 13 says, test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Well, how can you test? Well, the Spirit made sure it's an open book test. It's right in there. You can test. Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. How are you supposed to make certain of His calling and choosing of you? How are you supposed to do that? Examine everything carefully. How do you do that? Well, I know how I was called, because the letter of Thessalonians says He's going to call me through the gospel. Not going to call me in the middle of the night, whispering in my ear, you're mine. I've saved you. He's going to call me through the gospel. Examine everything carefully. I like what Jerry said this morning. Just because somebody comes up and says something doesn't mean it's right. He said it doesn't matter who says it. By the way, if you guys weren't here this morning, you need to get online and listen to Jerry's class, and you need to listen to his message. They were both excellent. Excellent. Really well done. Thanks again, Jerry. Really well done. Brethren, examine everything carefully. Do you know what you got in your hands? Wow. This is an amazing book. Examine everything carefully. Right? Now, the last one, I don't remember if Jerry mentioned it this morning. I know Brother Jay did in the Peaks. It says, abstain from every form of evil. Now, that, brethren, can be misunderstood. With that idea comes, or with that statement comes the idea that, well, I can't go here, there, everywhere, because it would be the appearance of evil. I want to issue a little bit of a qualifier here. It's, you know, don't engage in things that are evil, all right? Don't participate. I mean, Ephesians makes that clear. We don't participate in the deeds of darkness anymore. Don't participate is the terminology. So it says abstain from every form of evil. That's what it means. Some people use it as an excuse not to, you know, to try and then go through a list of, well, let me see, the owners of Albertsons are Mormon, so I can't shop there. And then, you know, Walmart's a bunch of, you know, and then, oh, Applebee's is owned by, and pretty soon you can't eat or go anywhere. They're all in darkness. Right? What's he talking about? What's your motive? That was mentioned. I think that was mentioned this morning. What's your motive? What's your intent? What were they trying to do with the Thessalonians? Come on back. Participate in all this stuff again. So that's why he talked about the sexual immorality and all the stuff in that letter. Don't participate. Now, our culture, brethren, is just like the culture that the church came to birth in and grew early on in that first century. It's exactly the same, different way it's being promoted, but it's the same. Sexual immorality, all that stuff, idolatry in whatever form, it's still present. So we're an awesome congregation. We stand firm. We know our Bibles. I think we do a great job. And like I said, I meant that when I said earlier, there's many in this body that I would put up and say, you can follow him because he's imitating Christ, so you can imitate him. Confidently, I can say that. But there's people that don't have all the understanding they need to have. They may have misconceptions, again, mentioned by Jerry this morning. And they may not have the understanding they need to have. So things like this are still important to an excellent congregation that excels still more earlier than what I just read, this context. And he closes the book and says, do not... I mean, you read it, you go, wow. This is a great church. Seems to be doing things right. But he says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise. By the way, that's a present imperative, meaning that it's a command and that you continue to do this. It's not something that, oops, one time. It's a present imperative in the Greek. It means you do this over and over and over. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise. Prophetic utterances. Examine everything carefully. When guys come up, you're not understanding. We get some of the guys up here that are growing in Christ, and they're going to say stuff may not be perfectly correct. That doesn't mean you jump up and just attack them like a, you know. I like what Jerry said. I'm borrowing a lot from what Jerry said this morning because he said some great stuff. You become a Priscilla and Aquila. You know, when Apollos said stuff that wasn't quite right, he was only familiar with John's immersion, not completely familiar with the immersion of Jesus Christ, where you not only get your forgiveness of sins, but you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He didn't understand that. They didn't jump on him. They privately pulled him aside. Hey, Apollos. And boy, then Apollos takes that and he just runs with it. There are going to be people going to be slightly ignorant, don't have everything down. But when they get up here and they say something, check it against that book. I don't care who it is that comes up here. Check it against the book. Abstain from every form of evil. Brethren, the world's going to try and suck you into participating into things. And you individually need to have a sense of discernment. See, we're supposed to have our senses trained, says in the book of Hebrews, to discern between good and evil. So it's abstain from every form or appearance of evil. They want you to participate. You individually are going to have to make that decision. Will this glorify God? What is my motives? What are my intentions here? I can go into a bar at 11:30 at night in downtown Billings, and I could have two or three of you watch me go in there. Drive by in a car. You know, on your way from your last Bible study tonight, coming down First Avenue North, see old Kevin walk into Andy's bar. Did you see that? Stop the car! That's Kevin, he's going into Andy's bar! How do you know why I'm even in there? Do you know? No. That's kind of a true story. I was in there to drag a husband of a wife in the congregation out of that bar because she'd asked me to. But somebody was seeing that. Oh, he's another hypocrite. There he is. Right? You don't know people's motives. So don't judge everybody because they're doing something until you know why they were doing it. Okay? And if you think they've done something wrong, I'm going to just give you one quick piece of advice. Go to your brother or sister. Don't go to someone else. Did you see what? Sound like good advice. Amen? Brethren, abstain from that participation that the world wants you to abstain in. You guys are awesome. I love you. Awesome. You really are. I, like Paul and the Holy Spirit, are going to tell you, excel still more. Excel still more. You guys know who you are. That's the question. You know who you are. Love this book. Love it. Live it. Share it. Examine everything carefully. Everything.